I've said already it's a privilege for me to be here. I'm sure you're all aware that I'm not a local. I come from Scotland. I live between Edinburgh and Glasgow. And I go around the country preaching the gospel, telling men and women and boys and girls of how they can know heaven for sure at the end of life's journey. So it's a great privilege to be in Wallingford. I've been here before on a number of occasions, but it's been about 4 years since I was here, and I'm glad to be back again. I've been here since last Sunday, and what we've been doing is every night we've been looking at questions that demand an answer. Questions from the Bible, questions about everyday life that are only answered by God in His Word, and give us direction and give us the knowledge of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say questions that demand an answer. These questions that we're dealing with this week are questions like, can I know the way to heaven? And questions like, what must I do to be saved? And questions like, what shall it profit me if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? Big questions, not trivial questions. Not questions like where you're going to go for your lunch tomorrow or what you're going to do on your day off. Big questions. Questions about where you're heading. You see, we're all going somewhere. Every single one of us, we're either going to end in heaven or we're going to end in hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He tells us exactly how we can know the way to heaven, how we can know peace with God, how we can know our sins forgiven. So we're dealing with life's big questions, and these meetings conclude on Sunday, but we've got a meeting tomorrow at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're dealing with another question from the Bible, and the answer is found from God. And then we're dealing with our final question on Sunday at 5. So Saturday at 7, Sunday at 5. Now, I will not be too long tonight. Don't think it's going to be a long message this evening. What I want to do this evening is to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ means to me. What the Lord Jesus Christ means to me as an individual. What I believe about the Lord Jesus and what He means to me as a person. I want to tell you how I became a Christian, how I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, because that is the reason that Christians in this hall have meetings like this. That is the reason why I have come from Scotland to Wallingford. I have come to introduce you to the Lord Jesus. I've come to speak to you not about religion, not about some kind of good work religion. I've come to speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I want to read a verse from the Bible, first of all. Two verses, in fact. See, Christianity is all about a person. It's nothing to do with our religion. It's nothing to do with our good works. It's nothing to do with our family. It's all to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read perhaps the best known verse in the whole of the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. And just before I read the Word of God, let me say this. After the meeting, you listening, folks? After the meeting, I'll be at the back of the hall. And if you've got any questions at all, keep your questions until after the meeting. There's really no reason for you to talk just now. That is ignorance. While I'm speaking, I don't want you to be talking. Okay? If you've got any questions, after the meeting, I'll answer any questions that you've got to the best of my ability. There's free literature as well. If you want a Bible, if you want a CD, if you want anything at all that's on that table, it's all free of charge. If you've got questions about the Bible or questions about life and salvation, please ask me. But don't waste my time. And don't waste the people's time who have come to listen. So show a wee bit of maturity and listen to what's being said, then the meeting will be over, and this might be a meeting that you'll thank God for forever, if you take time to listen and show a wee bit of courtesy. Okay? John chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I checked this out today. I Googled this today. That is still, according to Google, the best known verse in the whole of the Bible. This is the verse that is on buildings. It's on this very building outside. This is the verse that is greatly known throughout the world. I wonder what it means to you tonight. I'll confess to you, when I was young and growing up in Whitburn in Scotland, this verse I learned before any other verse, and I'll come to that in a moment. But it wasn't until I was a wee bit older, a teenager, that I began to think seriously about the Bible and about God and about the Lord Jesus, because really this is the Bible message, this is the gospel message in 25 words. It's like a mini Bible. The whole truth of God's word about God, about us, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of perishing, eternal existence, all these things are found in this verse. So these 25 words are powerful words, and they are very, very serious words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to read one other verse. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is a book written by a man called Paul, a servant of God, and he really gives his testimony, he gives his life story, I suppose, in one verse, 20, chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's really that last part of the verse that I want to underline and major on tonight. I want you to think about this. John 3:16, the God of heaven loves you. And he so loved you, he gave his only Son to die for you. And here's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's God's word. Powerful. Very serious to listen to. And it is my prayer that God will use these verses to really bless you spiritually and eternally tonight. I asked some of the children about an hour ago, where did they think that I came from? I made that mistake once in Wales, and they thought I came from Holland. They must have thought I had a really strange accent. But I come from Scotland, as I've said already. I come from Scotland. I've lived there since I was 3, but I wasn't born in Scotland. I wasn't born in Scotland. I was born in the city of Toronto in Canada. And I lived there until I was 3, and the reason I came to live in Scotland was something really sad happened. My father died. My father died when I was 3. I have no memories at all of my father, and I'm so glad that my father was a Christian. I'm so glad that he's in heaven and I will see him again. It's a sad thing. I have, as I say, no memories of my father at all. If you have got parents at home who love you and look after you, well, you cherish that. Because I'm so glad, even although my father died when I was 3, I had a mum who really looked after me, who was a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, still very much is. And she made it her aim, she made it her ambition that this little boy, me, would learn the Bible and would be taken along to Sunday school, would be taken along to children's meetings and meetings that like this on a regular basis. You see, after my mother was from Scotland, she went to Canada with her two friends, met my dad, fell in love, got married within months, made her life over in Canada. But then when my father died, he was only 33. And when my father died, my mum just wanted to come back to live in Scotland. Just a word about how my dad gets saved. You see, Christianity is not inherited. What do I mean by that? Even although my mum was a Christian and my dad was a Christian, that did not automatically mean that I would become a Christian. Salvation, Christianity, being right with God, being in God's family, does not run in the blood. It's not inherited. And my dad never, ever, growing up, would have attended a meeting like this. He didn't know what a Sunday school was. He didn't know what a children's meeting was. He didn't know what the gospel was. And at the age of 23 in the city of Toronto, he heard these words that we have read from John 3:16 for the very first time. He heard that God so loved the world, and he immediately thought, well, I'm part of the world, so he loves me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he'd learned enough through school or whatever to understand that the Lord Jesus was the only begotten son of God. And he thought, so God sent the Lord Jesus into the world to die for me. And as he heard the gospel for the first time, he had worked it out in his mind, but more importantly, it had gripped his heart, and before the meeting was over, he put his trust, he put his confidence, he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that God loved him, and that even although he was a sinner, Christ had gone to the cross to die for his sins, and he put his trust in the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and it was a righteous basis for him to come into God's presence and be justified. We were learning earlier in the children's meeting tonight, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My dad got saved. 23. He met my mum about a year later. They get married. I came along sometime later, but as I say, when I was only 3 years of age, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and a year and a half later, he died at the age of 33. So even although he wasn't brought up in a Christian home, even although he didn't have any family members who were Christians, he trusted the Lord Jesus personally as his Savior. Let me say this tonight, I don't know the majority of you. I don't know your background. I don't know if your families believe in the Lord Jesus or if they're atheists or whatever. I'm not interested in that. I want to tell every one of you tonight that the God of heaven loves you. I want to tell every one of you tonight that God so loved you, he sent his son to die on the cross that you might be saved. And there's salvation available for all in the meeting tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And as I say, my father, just 10 years after becoming a Christian, died. But he went to heaven. His soul went to heaven. You see, when you die, your soul lives on. Your body is put in the grave, or it's burned, and you physically, you cease to exist. But spiritually, your soul, the real you, either goes to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus or to hell. And the only way you'll be in heaven is by being justified on earth by faith and trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus. That's the only criteria. That's the only basis that someone will be in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something to think about already. Are you on the way to heaven? Or are you on the way to hell? Are you saved? Or are you in your sins, lost, at a distance, separated from God? My father, when he died, his soul went to heaven. Well, growing up in Scotland, 15 miles or so outside of Edinburgh, in a little, well, I suppose it's maybe similar size to Wallingford, the town where I live, maybe a wee bit bigger. And I was taken along to the Sunday school by my mum in the gospel hall. I was taken along to every meeting, to be honest with you. I must admit I didn't appreciate it when I was young. I thought it was very long, the meetings. I thought that also that Christianity was irrelevant. I did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. When I was young, many people perhaps in this building can look back to Sunday school days when they were young, when they trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That never happened. I didn't do that. I wish I had. I wish first time I'd heard the gospel in Sunday school, because I knew that God was real, and I knew that the Bible was the Word of God, and I knew that the Lord Jesus was more than a historical figure. I knew these things, but I did not appreciate or accept or believe my need. I didn't trust personally. And growing up, I suppose I was just like every other normal boy at school. I was interested in football. I was interested in my bike. I was interested in just having a lot of friends and being normal. I certainly didn't want to be the odd one out. I certainly didn't want to be like a sticking out like a sore thumb. I wanted just to be like everybody else. See, what I will say to you tonight, being a Christian is not for wimps. You're going to have to be brave if you're going to be a Christian. To be a Christian is saying, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is rejected by the majority. To be a Christian is saying, I'm turning away from my sin. Everybody else in the world is going headlong into sin and making their business to break God's law and to commit as much sin as possible. The Christian, the person who's going to be saved, turns away from their sin and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes a brave person to do that. In a world that hates the gospel, in a society that is really anti-Christ, it will take a brave person to turn to the Lord Jesus. I hope you're one of these people. I really pray that not one of you will leave this hall and live the rest of your life in your sins at a distance from God, and ultimately you'll end in hell. Ultimately you'll end in the eternal burnings of hell and the lake of fire. And God in his love wants to warn you tonight. God in his love wants to save you. So, as I look back to my primary school, up until I was 11 at primary school, and then I went to secondary school, I wasn't really interested in meetings like this. I wasn't interested in the gospel, wasn't interested in having Christ as my Savior. I went to the meetings to keep my mum happy, but it was really just allowing the message to go in one ear and out the other. When I look back to my teenage days, as soon as I went to high school, I started to get really involved in football. Really involved in football. I mean, I'm a wee bit ashamed to say it now. As I look back, it meant everything to me. It meant everything to me. That was my top priority. I thought about it when I wasn't playing it. I watched it whenever I could. I remember getting into trouble so many times coming home from school. If there was boys of any age playing football, my familiar question was, any games? That's the polite way of saying it. Any games? And I'd be there for hours. There for hours. I remember my mum, on one occasion, I was maybe about 12 years of age, and I was 3 hours late coming home from school. It was May, June time, and I was 3 hours late, and she called the police. She was so worried. I got into so much trouble. So much trouble. I just could not pass a game of football by. And I know I look at some of your faces and you think, that is just so strange. So strange. But anybody who's been bitten by the bug, which is football, will know what I'm talking about. I started playing football for the school team. Then I played for a team called Whitburn Centre, and then another team. And then eventually, at the age of 15, I played for a team called Tynecastle's Boys Club. That was a team in Edinburgh. They were a big team. And they were a feeder team to a professional football team called Heart of Midlothian. I was getting into really, really serious business as far as football was concerned. I really had the deluded belief that I was going to be a professional football player. I think every boy in Scotland, maybe England, thinks that. Unfortunately, I wasn't good enough. Well, I'm saying unfortunately. Unfortunately, at the time, I wasn't good enough. But that's all I thought about. When I was sitting in meetings like this on a Sunday night back home, I was thinking about football. I was thinking about the game I'd played the previous morning. I played for the school Saturday morning. I played for Tynecastle Boys Club and ultimately Heart of Midlothian on a Saturday afternoon. I was obsessed with football. I think one of the greatest disappointments of my life was breaking my leg when I was 15 and I couldn't play football for months. And I remember going to meetings and being really challenged. I remember one night in a gospel meeting, the preacher preached from James chapter 4. What is your life? There's another big question. What is your life? And immediately came to my mind, Blair, football's your life. Football's your life. I wonder what your life is. The Christian says Christ is our life. Christ is our life. He means everything. He loved us. He died for us. He's coming back for us. Christ is our life. But as a 14, 15 year old, football was my life. I was just a normal person at school. But then going to meetings, I was subjected to an hour of soul, of real challenge, of real soul searching. I knew I was on the way to hell. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Christ could be my saviour if I accepted him. But I just didn't want to be different. I wanted to be like everybody else at school. What changed? As I draw this to a close, what changed? What was the change in my life? What was the turning point? Well, in the summer of 1986, I went to my grandparents in Canada. I visited them every summer. My grandparents obviously were disappointed that I was no longer living in Toronto. And every single summer from age 4 until my grandparents passed away, I went to Toronto for the entire summer. I actually played football, soccer, they call it over there, every summer as well. But that's another story. But coming home from the 2 months of summer holiday, I went back to school and was in fifth year at school. And at the end of the day, our guidance teacher said, would you do us a favour, Blair? I know that you live near David Stewart. Could you take this bag for him? I didn't think too much about it. Didn't really spend much time wondering where David Stewart was. He hadn't been at school that day, but didn't think any more about it. But as I got to his door and saw his mum, I knew something was wrong. This was a friend. We'd been right through primary school, right through secondary school, played football in the school team. He lived about 3 or 4 blocks away from where I lived. I handed over the bag. What I didn't know was that David had been diagnosed with leukemia 2 months earlier. He seemed well at the end of term, but he'd been already going for tests, and the tests confirmed in early July that he had leukemia. He wasn't well. He wasn't well. And I had taken a schoolwork for him to do because he was so sick, so ill. His mum invited me in. She looked as if she had been crying for days. She was so thin. But David was thinner still because there was a bed, I think a hospital bed, had been put in the living room because he had no strength to walk upstairs. He was same age as me, 16. But he looked so old. His hair had already started to fall out with chemotherapy. He was a poor, poor soul. I was too immature at that time, really, to be able to say anything or to offer any help at all. But I knew enough that he was really sick. And I'd always tried to put to the back of my mind cancer and chemotherapy and that. I knew enough from my mum about my dad, so I didn't really want to engage in any conversation. And I got out of the house as quick as I could. I remember walking home, and that from somewhere, from God, came this question, Blair, if that was you, so sick, so near to death, you would know where you're going, Blair. You'd be in hell. And all I could think about was this. From my earliest days, I knew John 3:16. There was any amount of Bibles. I was at meetings non-stop. I had a mother who prayed with me and who read the Bible to me when I was young. All my extended family, my aunts and uncles and my cousins, they were all Christians. I thought, David Stewart's never once been at a Sunday school or a Bible class. David Stewart's never once read the Bible. And I thought, but you have. I have. And I'm not saved. That was the August. For the next few months, football just wasn't as exciting. Nothing really mattered. All I thought about continually, I started reading the Bible and I started listening in meetings. No longer was I this immature teenager who only thought about my next game of football. I actually thought about the meaning of life. I actually thought about God and about the Lord Jesus and about heaven and about how that the Bible actually makes sense when you read it. And for the next few months, I really believed God was speaking to me. I really believed that the gospel, when it was preached, was the greatest story I'd ever heard. And in November of that year, I remember being at a meeting on a Sunday night, and the preacher read from Matthew chapter 7, and he spoke about how that there's one journey in life, but there's two roads on which you can travel. There's a broad road leading to destruction, leading to hell, and it's teeming with countless multitudes. The road we were all born on, all sinners, all disobedient, all against God and are going away from God, separated from God because of our sin. But there's a narrow road, and it's Christians who are on that road going to heaven. These are people who have turned away from the broad road and turned away from their sins and turned to the Lord Jesus and embraced him as the Savior of the world, and they're on the way to heaven. I remember thinking seriously about the fact I wasn't on the right road. I wasn't on the right road. Do you know, the next morning at school, I think, to be honest with you, I know, I should have been at maths, but I didn't like maths, not that day. And I was sitting in what we had, a common room, and the fifth years were allowed to have this common room, and we were listening to Radio 1, and some people were playing darts, and some people were chatting away and laughing loudly, but I was sitting with my own thoughts, and a song came over the radio. It was a song by a group called Talking Heads, We're on the Road to Nowhere. And then straight after that song came another song on the radio by a man called Chris Rea, We're on the Road to Hell. I went out and was physically sick. Was physically sick. I thought, God, even in Monday morning, 9 o'clock, in the common room, he's speaking to me. I can't run away from him. I'm on the road to hell. I'm on the road to hell. I'm on the broad road on the road to hell. Later on that night, I went to speak to my uncle. My uncle Joe lived very near to my mum's house. And he put everybody, I've got three cousins and it's a noisy, noisy house, and he put everybody out and he says, "What is it, son?" I started to cry, and he says, "Is it because you're on the road to hell?" I says, "Yep." And he began to read the Bible. He began to read verses that I had known since I was a wee boy. But he came to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and he read this: "The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm not exaggerating. That verse changed everything for me. It was the day that my life changed. Because for the first time, I understood that the Son of God, a real person, the Savior of the world, he actually loved me. And he died for me. I believed it was relevant. I believed it was reliable. And I actually put my trust and faith in the Son of God that night as my Savior. For years I'd been putting it to the back of my mind. For years I'd been just running away from the big issue. But that night I embraced the Lord Jesus by faith. I trusted him as my Savior. You say, what happened to David Stewart? Well, David Stewart is alive and well. He's living in Dubai. For a number of years I used to see him. He had a child, a wee boy, same age as one of my girls, and at nursery one day I saw him, hadn't seen him for years. He lived in Edinburgh for a while. His parents moved away. What happened was this: David's sister was a perfect match, bone marrow, and David went into remission, and then years passed and they moved away. And I remember seeing David just maybe about 10 years ago or so. And he was living in the area, but he lives in Dubai. Here's the sad thing. I communicate with him sometimes. He's not interested in the gospel. He's not interested in being saved. I wonder if you are. Because we're all going somewhere. And although David Stewart, when he was 16, he recovered from leukemia, but one day David Stewart will die. Just as one day you'll die. It's appointed unto men once to die, 100 out of 100 die. The big question is, where will you be 5 seconds after you die? Thank you for your attention. I really appreciate your patience and your courtesy. We're going to pray and ask God for his blessing as we part now. Remember, if there's any questions at all, don't suffer in silence. Don't, you know, live in denial that there's a God and you've got eternity to face. Face up to these things tonight, and you may know God's blessing. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We praise thee for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Christ died for our sins. We praise thee he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. We give thanks for being able to read the holy scriptures that are able to make people wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we long this might be the case tonight, that precious souls in this room will come from darkness to light and know the joy of sins forgiven and faith through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this now as we part, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay.